The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we began to see in the first half of this message, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8 prophesies a cycle of the rise and fall of evil throughout history. The devil rises from time to time from the bottomless pit to torment God's people, but then the Lord intervenes and puts him down. One day, God will put him down permanently. And that's the good news of the book of Revelation. That's what Brother Buddy Abernathy's preaching to us about from chapter 11. Chapter 11 demonstrates some of this prophecy and the ways in which it affects the wicked and the children of God. Join us today as we continue looking at this encouraging truth from God's Word that we win in the end. But first, we have a song selection that we hope you enjoy. Then please stay tuned for the message.
Thank you. So you see, here's a little seasonal application of what we noted in chapter 17, verse 8. The Lord says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, my two churches, and they shall prophesy. That's essentially the same as saying they shall preach 1,203 days. That's 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now notice in the next verse that we see a continued description of this time in which the beast is not. He says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now, don't forget, the book of Revelation is symbolic language. This doesn't mean that there's going to be fire coming out of mine and Brother Chris's mouth. Doesn't mean that if somebody opposes us when we preach, fire's going to come out and literally burn them up. This is all an image you need to have in your mind of God providentially protecting His servants, even to the point of destroying their enemies if need be, for the Word of God to continue to go forth. So see, here's a time when the beast that thou sawest is not. Verse 6. These, still talking about the two witnesses, the two candlesticks, the two olive trees, the two churches. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, what two Bible characters does that make you think about? Elijah and Moses. Those were two individuals that obviously God protected. Obviously, they had a season in their life, and they exemplified a season that the beast that thou sawest is not. Because the Lord so protected Elijah. You remember his experience in among those prophets of Baal, and how he was protected throughout that, as a single man called upon God to consume the sacrifice. And in like manner, Moses, as a single man, you might say, stood before Pharaoh, and through the power of God, plagues were poured out on Egypt. So here is just some more symbolic language of those time periods when the beast that thou sawest is not. He uses preachers preaching with fire that kills their enemies as an image of this idea. He uses a reference to Elijah by saying that these have the power to shut up heaven that it rain not. He refers to Moses as an illustration of this concept, because it says they will have power over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now look at verse 7. Remember, the beast that thou sawest was and is not. We've read about that he in these verses is not, but what happens next? He ascends out of the bottomless pit. Verse 7 says, when they shall have finished their testimony, that's still referring to their preaching or what they're saying. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, I don't like to talk about this because I don't want to live during that time period. And that's not just some future event. That has happened in cycles over and over and over again. Our Baptist forefathers in this country were murdered for preaching the gospel. This is a cycle that repeats itself. They were murdered. They were persecuted. We've experienced full deliverance from that, but it's on the horizon again, isn't it? The beast is ascending out of the pit of hell. What's he going to do when he ascends? Says he'll make war against those two witnesses and overcome them and kill them. Now, this doesn't mean the church is going to be extinguished from the face of the earth. But there are many times that God's people and God's preachers are killed. Have you ever heard of that book, Fox's Book of Martyrs? It's a whole book that accounts multiple experiences of faithful people that would not recant on their faith, and they were burned at the stake among many other cruelties as they were put to death. That's what he's describing here, this cycle that repeats itself. Now look at verse 8. Here's how bad it can be when that wicked, evil beast is unleashed. Now, before I read that, so we can be encouraged, notice in Revelation chapter 20, here's what will happen at the end of time when he's released from the bottomless pit. This is when it'll happen for the last time. Verse 9 of Revelation 20. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, that's the church, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. See, that's going to come one day, and that'll be all she wrote. That'll be the end of time. He'll be tormented day and night. That's where the beast will be, tormented day and night forever and ever. But until that final prophecy is fulfilled, we're going to see cycles of it. And our lifetime will be somewhere during, our life will be at some point during one of those cycles. My parents and the generations before them they enjoyed a season where the beast is not. But we're getting a taste of a season when the beast is. Notice how cruel it was in this day, in Revelation 11, 8. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. You see how much the wicked hate God's people? They refuse to even allow them to be buried. And then notice what he says in the next verse, verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth. Remember, anytime you read that phrase in Revelation where it refers to people and dwelling on the earth or terminology like that, it's referring to those that are not the children of God. He says, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Now, wait a minute. We say those two prophets didn't torment anybody. In the perspective of the wicked, they were being tormented. You say, how can anyone be offended if I say I believe marriage is between a man and a woman? That is a torment to the wicked. They don't want any restraints. They don't want any controls. They don't want anything to be forbidden. Notice that's exactly what is described here. They that dwell on the earth, they're going to rejoice. They're going to send gifts to each other because these prophets have been killed and their bodies are laying in the streets. They're not even burying their bodies and they're so glad about it. They're sending gifts. And notice this, the reason they're so happy is because these two prophets tormented them. It's nothing new that the truth is hated. We shouldn't be shocked, although I admit we often are, when we say how much America is beginning to hate the Word of God. That's nothing new historically. It's just the same old cycle repeating itself again. And the wicked rejoice because from their vantage point, these two witnesses, these two candlesticks, these two churches, these preachers tormented them. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. What happens next? He shall go into perdition. Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Can you imagine what that would be like? And again, this is symbolic language to convey to us an idea. You know, as I read that to you, a picture comes to your mind. Can you imagine the shock of the wicked when God intervenes, when God overcomes what appears to be a hopeless situation? They had killed these prophets. They hated them. They didn't suffer them to be buried. And after they partied for 3.5 days, he says, then the Spirit, notice that's a capital S, the Spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. See, God can do that whenever He wants to. And we may see the beast ascend beyond what he has ascended at this point in our lives, or the Lord may send His Spirit and stop it if He wants to. Our concern just needs to be, Lord, help me to be faithful. Amen. You don't need to figure out where you're at on the timeline. You don't need to figure out what dispensation you might be living in. You don't have to worry about that anyway, because only one left is this one until the Lord comes back. All you need to have on your mind is, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to honor you. And Lord, protect us from our enemy. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard, listen to this, they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Does that remind you of something that's going to happen at the end of time? They ascended up into heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. Here is a microcosm of a worldwide event that's going to happen when the Lord comes back, when all of His saints are given life and raised from the dead and ascend back to heaven. Here's a cycle of that, you might say. Here's an experience of that. Here's a picture of how the Lord is always there to intervene as He pleases. Then look at verse 13. In the same hour was there a great earthquake. We'll read later on that the end of time uses that terminology. The same hour. What same hour? The same hour that He said to these faithful servants, come up hither. In that same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now I want you to see this. how consistent this is and how parallel it is to the overall view of New Testament history. Notice what he says here. First of all, when the Lord told these faithful prophets, come up hither, and they then ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In other words, here's who's left behind. You want to see a left behind doctrine? Here it is. And it's not God's people. Their enemies are left behind. And the same hour, there was a great earthquake. And notice this. You remember I told you this is just a microcosm of what ultimately will happen when the Lord comes back. Notice here he says there were slain of them 7,000. That is a countable number are slain. This is a portion. This is not the final judgment on the wicked. This is one of those cycles that I've been talking about that we go through. Here's God judging them. And he says, the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now you remember earlier we read about an experience like this. You remember in an earlier chapter? And it says, those that were left repented not. Well, evidently God turned the heat up this time. Because it said they were affrighted and they gave glory to the God of heaven. The wicked will give God glory when things get bad enough. When the Lord comes back, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's every human being without exception. Some will be bowing with reverence and praise and anticipation. Others will be bowing in horrible fear at the power and coming of the God of wrath. Verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. That sounds like something, doesn't it? The Lord said, behold, I come quickly. You see how that verse 14 supports what I've been trying to say? Here's a second woe that is past. Here's a cycle that parallels that verse we looked at in chapter 17. It parallels that cycle. It parallels the entirety of New Testament history as revealed in Revelation chapter 20. And yet here he's talking about something you and I can personally relate to. But here's what I want to leave you with. Regardless of where we're at in those cycles, whether we're in the good times or the bad times, remember this. There is an overarching cycle. And at the end of that cycle is the Lord coming back to take all of His children to be home with Him forever and to cast the beast and the false prophet and the serpent and all of those of the wicked into the lake of fire where they're tormented day and night forever and ever. So while we may have some anxiety and fear when we look at the direction of our country today, and we realize I may be approaching one of those seasons where the beast that thou sawest is ascending out of the bottomless pit, remember, there's that overarching cycle, and the end will come. And when the end comes, you will be with the Lord forever and you'll be eternally separated from these that hate the people of God and hate the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.